Thank you, Pastor Brian. Thank you, worship team. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. Light, momentary afflictions are small in compared to eternal glory. In your mind right now, what will heaven be like? In your mind, what will heaven be like? You see, the problem is our minds are so finite, and it's so used to things that are corrupt in the world, so used to brokenness, so used to going through life undone, that we have a hard time of picturing perfection. Do you imagine you in perfection? No aches, no pains, no disease, no problems going on in you. Even your hair looks good. You won't even need makeup. I mean, perfection. And what would the earth look like in perfection? Because there'll be a new heaven and a new earth where we dwell, where your tomatoes stay ripe all year long, where your flowers bloom perfectly. You see, we have a hard time picturing a whole world that looks like the Garden of Eden. Oh, but what a beautiful, beautiful picture of the glorification that we will experience because of Christ Jesus. And creation will experience because of Christ Jesus. Have your Bibles, Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. Last week we looked at the doctrine of adoption, how God has adopted us in Christ Jesus into his family, and the Holy Spirit dwells in each believer, marking us as a child of God and giving us the right of inheritance with Jesus Christ in this eternal kingdom. And today, what Paul is setting out for us, I love going verse by verse, book by book, verse by verse. Why? Because we get to dig deeper. What a tragedy it's been in our churches where you can sit in a church for 40 and 50 years and your understanding of Scripture has only been that deep. Man, I want us to dig in God's Word. And I know we can't dig it all up, but just dig in God's Word. Paul teaches today about suffering as believers. So we learned that it's a small weight of suffering as compared to the weight of glory that awaits us when this life is over. You know what's hard to understand that? Is when we're going through suffering, that's all we see, that's all we experience, that's all we know is the pain from our suffering. The tragedy, the disappointment, the loss. Our focus is so much on that we forget. It's only temporary. Even if it's for the rest of your life, it's only temporary. Because you're only temporary here. Remember verse 16 and 17 of Romans 8? It says, we are children of God, verse 17 says, and if children, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. No suffering, no glorified. Get it? So what we find in Paul is doing now is turning his attention from the now into the future glorification of believers. This is a message of encouragement that it, regardless of what you're going through right now, it's temporary, and keep your focus on the long term. Not just what you're going through, but on the long term. Let's begin reading verse 18 through verse 22. Paul writes this for us in God's word. Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And some of your translations say "in us," and it's kind of both. "For the anxious longing of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to the corruption and to the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers in the pains of childbirth together until now." Let's pray together. Father God, as we even just look in these few verses, Lord, help us grasp the beauty that awaits us. God, our minds are so finite and so fixed on this earth that we have a hard time even comprehending. But your Holy Spirit lives in us. Confirm with our spirit, with our innermost being, all the glory of God that awaits us. That's our inheritance for all eternity. A new heaven and a new earth created by the Lord Jesus for us for all eternity. Lord, give us vision, give us insight to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing we see from verse 18 is that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, empowering us to endure suffering. Remember, we talked about the Holy Spirit indwelling is when you were regenerated, when God came to you in your lost condition, in your spiritually dead condition, the Holy Spirit regenerated you, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Some of you are going to write it down and get it sooner or later. In verse 4 and 5 says he made you alive. That's a term called regeneration, where the Holy Spirit made you spiritually alive. The gospel message is proclaimed to you. He makes it effective so that you would believe. How do you believe? He's giving you the gift of grace. He gave you the gift of faith. It's not faith of your own, because if it's faith of your own, you know what? It'll fail. It's the faith that he gives you as a gift. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It's a gift to you. He is even giving you the gift of repentance, because in your undone condition, you won't repent. You may be sorry, but you wouldn't repent. So even repentance to God is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit indwells you from that moment. You're saved, you're born again, you're a new creation in God. And the Holy Spirit lives in you, sealed you for the day of redemption. And he is God's glory. He is God himself living in you. So when we read this passage, verse 18, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us," or to us. It's both. See, Paul's evaluation of this present suffering of himself and other believers can't compare to the enormous, wonderful weight of glory we have in our future. Paul says, for I consider. That the Greek word there for consider is luxignomai, I'm sorry. But it means to take inventory and reason and compute. It means to take into account. It means to consider. It's a well thought out conclusion. So Paul didn't say, well, you know, I consider what I'm going through now is to be like. No, it is something he has pondered over. He has thought out. He's calculated. Man, everything I'm going through right now is small in comparison to the weight of glory. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. There's not even a comparison between the two. Paul knew all too well suffering for the cause of Christ. And think about the audience he's writing to, Christians in the Roman Empire, Christians in Rome itself. That's the context and that's the flow of Paul's letter here. He knows the suffering of the church, the suffering that they have experienced in the Roman Empire, the Roman government. See, they were facing persecution by the government and the people in this pagan society. They were facing persecution because there was emperor worship, and if you weren't worshiping the emperor, then you were mistreated. Some were killed. But not only worshiping the emperor, man, this pagan society, they had many temples and shrines that were constructed to various pagan gods and goddesses. There was a large polytheistic pantheon. It was large. Had many pagan gods and goddesses. Matter of fact, there were 12 major, but there were also a lot of minor gods and goddesses that were just added to the worship of these people there in Rome. And if you didn't worship one of these, if you worshiped this Jesus Christ guy, then you were ousted. Hard to believe a society like that. There was basically a different god or goddess to fulfill the different functions corresponding to various aspects of these people's lives. Paul knew that the church was suffering from the government, from their lack of emperor worship, also from the pagans who were there, who worshiping all these idols. The church was suffering because they were being persecuted, imprisoned for that. But they were also being persecuted by the Jews, non-Christian Jews. There were Christian Jews called Messianic Jews, but there were non-Christian Jews who were persecuting the church also. But then there were also those who were false teachers inside the church. Gnostics and several others who came up with these various beliefs that were heretical in nature, that were not Jesus of the Bible. And they were inside the church. So these Christians faced many, many types of sufferings and persecution. Paul himself even experienced more sufferings than most any of us we can even imagine today. And he still considered that the future glory outweighed his present sufferings. Paul gives us a little glimpse of the things that he had gone through in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 27. Listen to some of the physical punishments that Paul had gone through. Five times had he received 39 lashes from the Jewish authorities. I haven't had a whipping since Mama did that in the last, I was probably 10 years old. Grown man beaten by bigger grown men with a whip. Three times he was beaten with wooden rods. One time he was belted with stones and left for dead in Lystra. We covered that back in the book of Acts. Frequent imprisonments, near-death experiences. Listen to the hardships and dangers. Three times he suffered shipwrecks. One night and one day he was adrift on the open sea, waiting for jaws. Constant perils from flooded rivers and violent robbers. Hazards in the city, hazards in the wilderness, hazards at sea. Listen to the deprivations and the hardships that he went through. He was frequently hungry and thirsty without regular food or water. His exposure to severe cold and lack of proper clothing. All this for the cause of Jesus. Extreme exhaustion and hard physical labor and the lack of sleep. Oh, and listen to the emotional and social burdens that he had gone through. Paul suffered hostility from other Jews, the Gentiles, and false believers. He had deep anxiety and heavy emotional concern for the Christian churches that he established. And a physical affliction that all Scripture lets us know, Paul calls it a thorn in the flesh. This one man had experienced all these things, and he could say that is small in compared to glory. He endured whippings and beatings and with rods and stoning and shipwrecks and adrift at sea and snake bite. Extreme exposure, starvation and thirst, sleep deprivation, physical ailments, physical assaults. Man, Paul knew suffering, and he still considered it small. See, we often take our focus off the future. We're sometimes going through these troubles and trials and suffering of some sort. Man, we get so focused into that that we think that's all. And we get our eyes off the future. We'll all undergo suffering. We all will in this life. We're living imperfectly in Christ, abiding in this sin-cursed world with bodies that break down. I don't know about yours breaking down, but mine seem to break down more frequently lately. Mine's that grow foggy and forgetful. We struggle with our flesh and things that we want. You know, we want things to go right, but sometimes, man, we make choices that displease God that are spiritually unhealthy. And it's not good for us. Our minds drift. Our priorities seem to get out of order from our own doing. And we're all susceptible to sickness and disease and injuries and medical emergencies and even death. And losses even of our loved ones. Man, we suffer.
I'd like to add one thing. You notice like with bills with hospitals, they come ridiculously.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Man, so we suffer, and our loved ones are often the ones who are directly affected by it. Verse 18 says, but these are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. James, we have that video to show. It's a little lengthy video, but I think it kind of hits home for us. Mm-hmm.
Return to the Lord, the one who's broken, the one who's torn me apart. You strike down to bind me up. You say you do it all in love, that I might know you in your suffering.
Not only is all your affliction momentary, not only is all your affliction light in comparison to eternity and the glory there, but all of it is totally meaningful. Every millisecond of your pain from the fallen nature or fallen man, every millisecond of your misery in the path of obedience is producing a peculiar glory you will get because of that. I don't care if it was cancer or criticism. I don't care if it was slander or sickness. It wasn't meaningless. It's doing something. It's not meaningless. Of course you can't see what it's doing. Don't look to what is seen. When your mom dies, when your kid dies, when you got cancer at 40, when a car careens into the sidewalk and takes her out, don't say, it's meaningless. It's not. It's working for you an eternal weight of glory. Therefore, do not lose heart, but take these truths and day by day, focus on them. Preach them to yourself every morning. Get alone with God and preach His word into your mind until your heart sings with confidence that you are new and cared for.
Though you slay me, yet I will praise you. Though you take
and with Shane and Shane, and the pastor speaking is John Piper. See, without a heavenly hope, pulling us forward in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, even Paul considered that the Christian life would be foolish and tragic. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. It says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ. In other words, if this is all it is, this life, we are all people most to be pitied. If this is it, if this is all we have, is this life your best life now? Smile and Joel. If this is it, we're to most be pitied of all people. However, listen, in the light of eternity, basking in the glory of God, Jesus is the wisest and best choice for anyone. See, Paul weighs out this comparison again for us, where our afflictions versus the future of the glory of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 16, Paul writes, this is therefore, it's what he read just a moment ago. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, all these troubles and problems in this world, but to the things that are unseen. Man, our heavenly home, the spiritual realm where our Lord is at. For the things that are seen are transient, they're temporary. But the things that are unseen, oh, they're eternal. See, the difficulties we experience in this life are momentary and light compared to the glory of God in heaven. That's where God's glory is. Man, that illuminates everything. The glory of God, the Holy Spirit living in you. Listen, we can't see it. It's out of sight now. But when Christ returns, man, we will live in a glorified body. God has put his glory into every believer, even in this life. God himself, the third person of the Trinity, Holy Spirit, dwells in us, bearing the glory of God. Yet it will be in heaven, in the presence of the Lord Jesus, when that glory is revealed to us. The glory of God is already in existence, but not apparent to us yet. Oh, man, what to look forward to. So whatever we're going through right now in this life, it's only temporary. It is momentary. It is light in comparison to being with God the Father, our Creator, our Savior, where we are heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of the Father. Momentary, temporary, light afflictions. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ in the Father, to his glory, Christ dwells in us, and his glory is revealed in us for all eternity. What to look forward to? All these things that we count so heavy today. Oh, they're only light compared to what awaits for us. The glory and the beauty, the magnificence and the majesty of our Lord. Our minds have trouble even comprehending. We can only get glimpses. Isaiah saw it. It was too much. John in Revelation, it was too much. Verse 19 through verse 22 says, all creation anticipates the glory of God to be revealed. For the anxious longing, verse 19 says, of creation, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility. In other words, having no purpose or no success or no use. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it to it, to hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. In other words, when Jesus comes back, not only are we free, but creation is free from this sin curse that is here. You won't hear the word cancer anymore. You won't hear the word diabetes. Bring on the cake. Oh. Verse 22 says, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. See, sin has so distorted man that all creation has been affected by the sin's presence. Paul considers thus the creation, both visible and invisible, terrestrial and celestial, anything on the earth and in the heavens, planets, and under the earth and sea, has been tainted by the presence of sin. That's how much sin has tainted creation. Creation has been subjected to futility on account of man's sin. Creation will benefit from the ultimate redemption when Jesus Christ returns to bring these people adopted into his family home forever in his kingdom. All of creation will benefit when Christ returns, not just believers, all creation. On the day of the Lord, the sons of God will be revealed. The parousia, that's the coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ, to be accompanied by an appearance of the redeemed in their glorified form. Man, let me tell you what. If you die before Jesus comes back, he's going to bring you back in your glorified form. If we're alive, when the Lord returns, it says we will be transformed. We will be taken up, snatched away. There's a resurrection and a rapture that happen right back to back. I often said this, I hope I'm not at the cemetery when the resurrection happens, because I don't know if I'm going to be raptured or I'm going to be resurrected too. Man, our present appearance, our present apparent condition has tainted all of creation. Yet creation has, I love Paul put this in there, this earnest expectation, kind of like someone straining to watch a race, who's going to win the race. Man, it's like creation is sticking our neck out to see who's winning the race, the final victory. That's creation is waiting for that final victory when Jesus comes across. It's being revealed to the people of God with glorified bodies like Jesus after his resurrection. Listen, Paul is driving home this thought about the glory of God in Christ Jesus, illuminating his people in what creation has longed with, this urgent expectancy. What benefits of the redemption of the Lord's day? Listen to what Isaiah says. What is just a glimpse of it, because it's so out of the ordinary for us. Isaiah 11, 6 through 9 tells us what this glorification in the earth and in heaven will be like. The wolf shall lay down and dwell with, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. A cow and a bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lay down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. And they shall not hurt. In all my holy mountain. Or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea. There's no more curse of sin on the earth. All of mankind, all of the visible creation lost its original beauty and glory and its bliss. Man, all of that's restored. The whole face of nature has been obscured by sin. And all creatures were subjected to vanity and wretchedness because of sin. Yet God has a future. God has a plan. God has an inheritance filled with hope for us. Verse 20 says, because of him who subjected creation in hope. Oh, listen, all creation hopes. Believers, we hope. We understand that there is a promise coming by God of things that are far better than what we see in the world today. Verse 21 says, in hope that the creation itself, listen, will be set free from its slavery. Paul calls this world in slavery because of sin. Into the freedom and the glory of the church. We don't know the beauty of this life because it has been captured into this slavery because of sin, our sin. The ultimate redemption of Jesus Christ for the children of God, but also for creation. See, all things will be made new by Christ Jesus. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5 says, and he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Jesus will make all things new as we will now enjoy his eternal glory. Verse 22, we're closing. It says, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth until now. Brother Kevin, what is he talking about? All creations groan and suffer the pains of childbirth. Every mother in here knows who's experienced delivering a child, the severe pain of childbirth. But she endures that severe pain because there's hope that in just a little while, maybe an hour, maybe a few hours, maybe many hours, she'll be holding that precious baby in her hand. And that precious baby, she'll lay on her breast and love that. She has hope that that baby that she's carried for 9 months will be looking at her. So dependent, so helpless. All those months of waiting, all those months of nurturing, all those months of keeping that baby safe. Going through the childbirth pains because there's hope, there's promise, this baby in her arms. That's what Paul is giving us an illustration of. All of creation is straining and growing through these pains right now, knowing that Christ is coming back. The hope and the promise of Jesus' return, and all things will be made new. Just like that little baby, starting out fresh and new. Oh, what a promise. Paul weighs out for us all things, all of our suffering, all the things we experience for the cause of Christ in this life are only small and are only temporary and they're only light compared to the amazing glory that happens, that we experience, that we live for all eternity in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His kingdom. Oh, what promise. I don't know what you're going through today, Christian. I don't know if it's health issues, if it's financial issues, if it's relationship issues. I don't know what you're going through. But I do know this, that it's only light, and it's only temporary, and it's small compared to what's coming, the hope in Jesus Christ that's coming to us. And we'll forget about all these things that we experience in this life. All those disappointments and losses will all be wiped away. And forever and ever and ever, in a glorified body, in a place of perfection, in a body of perfection, we get to worship Jesus Christ. We get to live the life that He intended for all of us to live when He created Adam and Eve. Oh, what a beautiful time that's coming for us. Don't give up hope. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. May it draw you closer in faith to the Lord. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for this moment. God, we thank You for Paul turning our attention from what we're going through now to what's coming. God, our minds are so small to be able to think of such greatness. Help us little by little, confirmed by the power of Your Spirit living in us, God, this great beauty, this great light, this illumination that is coming from the Lord into us. Lord, that we even now hold on to this hope and promise that You've given to us, the return of Jesus. And we'll spend all eternity worshiping, praising, enjoying Your creation as You intended for us to. Thank You, Lord, for this promise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.